Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. We're studying the book of Isaiah for quite a while. It's a very rich book. And one of the things I've been endeavoring to do is to show where Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament, because there's a lot of quotes from Isaiah, as well as all the prophets and the Old Testament scriptures. And in saying that, you know, there are some people that project themselves as teachers of the Bible in the body of Christ, and they make a completely erroneous, goofy statement. And it's usually because they want to dismiss some things from the Word of God. And it's that statement's that the Old Testament doesn't apply today. Anyone who says that, I would strongly urge you, don't listen to them anymore, because you cannot trust what they're saying to you. If that was the case, and nothing's changed dispensationally since Pentecost, if that was the case, then Paul was completely a teaching buffoon, because he quoted constantly from the Old Testament. Now, what has changed is the high priestly ministry. Jesus fulfilled. He is the high priest, and he is the Lamb, and there's no more offerings for sin. That's what's changed. But there's so many things in the Old Testament that still speak to us today. And again, through most all of Paul's writings, he's quoting from that. So here in Isaiah 54, we'll begin at verse 13. But I want to remind you, we were in Isaiah 54 last week, where we were focusing on the scripture that the Lord is our maker and he is the husband of Israel. And then you roll that forward in the new covenant, we are the bride of Christ. Okay, so again, are we going to scratch that out of our Bible too? No, we are the, most people will celebrate. Yeah, praise God, we're the bride of Christ. And he brings forth that revelation and then shows that marriage is actually a picture of our marriage with God. And the body of Christ is the bride. So that's the context for these next verses we're going to look at. We are the bride of Christ. And it says at verse 13, and thy children, speaking of Israel as the bride, and then new covenant as the bride of Christ, the new covenant Israel, her children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now the word here for children in Hebrew is ben. And that means sons. When that's used, it's speaking of sons. It's not like the idea here of, oh, we have babies and they're all like just going to be happy. That's not the idea conveyed. But rather, in bringing forth sons, you see, a son in the Bible is one who follows the ways of their father. Biological offspring don't necessarily do that, but to follow the ways of their father. So Jesus, referred to as Son of God, he was a complete picture of the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says that very clearly, or verse 3 speaks that very clearly. He's the express image of God. And in us becoming sons of God, it's that we are reflecting his character. That's not the same as biological offspring. So there are certain promises or things that speaks to us. It's that those who will become like the Father, or Jesus being the picture like the Lord, these promises go to them, not just biological offspring. Because you can have biological offspring that are in rebellion to God, and guess what? They don't partake in any of the promises. So those who, as children to Jerusalem, and children, the sons of the bride of Christ, or those who know the Lord, walking with him as part of his bride, bring forth, they're going to learn the ways of the Father through the one discipling them, and they'll be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Now, peace comes from knowing God. When the Bible speaks of peace, there are three applications. One is peace with God, which Romans 5:1 says, because of our faith, we're justified and have peace with God. God's not looking at you that he needs to punish you. We, even though we rebelled against him, we've been forgiven, cleansed, and we have peace with God. Everything's good between us and God. Therefore, you can boldly come and say, Heavenly Father, I need a loaf of bread. And you can do that in all confidence. Where if a child feels their parent is upset with them, they don't have confidence to come and say, hey, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? They're not going to have that confidence. So there's peace with God. Then there's peace of God in the midst of this life and in circumstance. And that comes by walking with the Lord. And then there's peace with others or with God's people. So great will be the peace of those who embrace the characteristics of the Father. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. The byproduct or result of that is you'll be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near me, near thee. This is the righteousness which is by faith. The righteousness that Abraham, his faith was counted for righteousness. And what that's speaking to is a right standing, or God's accepting you because of your faith. It's not because of your works. You're not perfect. But his acceptance of you is based on you believing on him and what he's done. Now, again, new covenant application. It's the work of Jesus Christ. Our faith in him and his work with his body and his blood is the basis of our relationship. And out of this relationship, one of the blessings, again, is peace. We do not have to fear. Okay, fear is an opposite, contrasting thought to peace. We don't have to fear. We can have peace because we are in a relationship with God. You'll be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, it's coming against you, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now, let me read the rest of this chapter here before I start commenting further. Behold, I've created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, he's speaking to part of our inheritance. We have an inheritance as a result of the two covenants. The old covenant spoke of our blessings of our inheritance pertaining to everything in the natural. The new covenant speaks to inheritance of everything in the spiritual. Until the issue of sin was resolved, we could not have, or in the old covenant, they did not have any spiritual blessing. They had natural blessing in that covenant. But in the new covenant, it says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, it's one place it states this. We have all spiritual blessing. And a spiritual blessing are two promises to the new covenant that are not in the old covenant. The one is that gift of righteousness by faith through Jesus Christ, where we have the remission of sin, sin taken out, cleansing. And then the Holy Spirit can come in to a cleansed vessel. And it's by the Holy Spirit's ministry we partake all spiritual blessings. So our inheritance, old and new. Now, again, to those who want to think they're so smart, and it's usually to justify their flesh, and say, well, old covenant's all irrelevant. You know, what I'm presenting to you is that blessings of our inheritance of the old covenant roll over into the new. if the, everything old covenant's done away with, then the blessings are done away with too. Then you cannot claim any blessing in the natural realm of life, because it's not spoken of in the new covenant. It's not. Those things were released in the old covenant and they roll over to the new. It's just we have in addition two gifts or promises in the new, the gift of righteousness with the remission of sin and peace with God. And then you have the gift of the Holy Spirit who leads you into all things of the kingdom of God. So the old carries into the new. That's why in the New Testament, those things are not restated over and over. They understood that. But ignorant Bible teachers don't understand that because they are very purposed and driven to justify flesh. So we see here our heritage, our inheritance is for the servants of the Lord by way of the righteousness of God. There is an inheritance. Now, what it's specifically speaking to, one is peace, but a corresponding thought to that is deliverance. Deliverance is an old covenant blessing that rolls over into the new. In the new, the word deliverance is speaking more to satanic oppression. But in the old, deliverance is speaking to natural enemies, nations that want to destroy you, or anybody that wants to destroy you. It's more deliverance to the natural, where the new covenant is deliverance in the spirit. This is an awesome truth here that I hope for you to grasp a hold of, because it can really bring clarity for some things. This old covenant inheritance promise, covenant promise of deliverance rolls forward to us. It's just there's the inclusion of deliverance from satanic, from the realm of the spirit. Now, in verse 15, he says, surely they'll gather together, but not by me. Those that gather against you will fall for your sake. That goes right back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, when God first spoke to Abram, and he spoke to him and said, those who bless you, I'll bless, and those who curse you, I'll curse. In other words, enemies that come against you, that want to destroy you, I'm going to destroy them. You see, that was a covenant promise right in the beginning. You would have protection or deliverance. And then also those who bless whom God blesses, God will bless them. Now, if we roll that forward, that carries a whole connotation to it. If God's blessings on the ministry, on those he's calling and anointing to bring forth the word of God and so forth, well, then you'll be blessed if you bless them. That's just a spiritual new covenant rollover. Or whoever, to bless your parents in the Lord is to, you know, you'll bring blessing on yourself if you honor the ones who are ministering to you. That's a biblical principle right in the beginning. Bless those who bless you. And then you have with it, God will curse those who curse you or those who want to destroy you or harm you. God's against them. That's big trouble. That's right. Yeah, that's bigger than having a nuclear-powered enemy against you, is that God be against you, and that's big trouble. So he's saying in righteousness, you'll be established, or you have a relationship with me by faith, not by how perfect you are keeping the law, but by faith, you have a relationship. A byproduct of that, or a promise that pertains to that, is peace and deliverance and protection. Therefore, you'll be far from oppression, you'll not fear, and terror shall not come near thee. Now, terrorism is a very imminent thing in the days we're living in. But I want you to understand, terrorism has always been. In fact, empires that would be spread forth would use terror. They all use terror. They'd want to come in and brutalize and terrorize people. They would kill a lot of people, but they would let some go free to go back and tell everybody to put fear in people that people just surrender. And there's all kinds of terrorism being exercised in our nation today. In the United States, I can name the names, no need for me to do that. There are those who are inciting violence and trying to provoke riot and chaos. That's terrorism, because they want those who they disagree with to back off, to back down. Then you have the type of terrorism that's religiously inspired, the Islamic type of thing, there is a lot of that worldwide, a lot of terrorism. But we do not have to allow that to rule us or dominate us or let fear come into us, because we have a relationship with God. Now, the peace doesn't just happen. It's as we are looking to Him in faith, realizing and having an understanding, part of my covenant inheritance is deliverance from enemies. Now, He goes on to speak that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that will rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord. Now, there is the destruction that comes through and the manipulation through actual force, killing people, beating people, and so on. And then there's that which comes from intimidation and threats. Peter and John were threatened. Don't preach in this name anymore, or else. And they took beatings for preaching the name of Jesus. But Peter responded to the high priest, well, how can we but speak of that which we have seen and heard? How can we not obey the Lord and His commandment to us to preach gospel? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, one of the things that's been unleashed to a greater degree, talk about current events in our country, is a spirit of accusation. And the reason for this is the vehicles to carry it have increased. Social media, television, radio, internet, all of that. You can have like a small group of people who are endorsed by the media, and they can say, oh, there's a big protest in York, and there might be 20 of them, and they can use the media to make it appear like everyone in York feels this way. And it's called propaganda, and that stuff's being done all the time. And at the same time, they'll be dismissive. A million people go to Washington, D.C. to pray for the nation, and they won't even report it as though it doesn't exist. Yet there'll be 20 people carrying signs and getting all wound up, trying to incite violence, and they'll make it appear as much bigger than it is. I remember, maybe I shouldn't say a name, a friend of mine who was in Russia and Ukraine, and actually went from Russia to Ukraine, and their things were being stirred up. And the Russian propaganda ministry, they had put out on their media that there was this big uprising in a certain city where my friend was. And he was in that place at the time they said it happened. Met with somebody in the exact place. The exact place. And there was no such riot. And what they did is use the abilities with photography that they photographed people, being all crazy and rioting and stuff. And they imposed it upon the background of that particular city. It was a complete lie. And he was a witness to it because he was physically right there when they said it was going on and there was nothing going on. Yet people who wouldn't know that would see that and think, oh, wow, these people feel this way. Well, the truth was they didn't at all. It was all to terrorize and bring fear so that out of that fear, they would bow and submit to those who are wanting to take power. Well, we have today, it's so disturbing in our own politics, this accusation spirit. And I think it was either Lenin or Stalin. One of them spoke of how if people hear something enough, even though it's a lie, they'll accept it as the truth eventually. And I'm amazed at how much people won't check and verify what is the truth because they heard something on Yahoo News or whatever, and they just accept that as the truth because they're hearing it all the time. And propaganda is rampant all over the world. When I go to a place like India, I'll look at their newspaper or possibly TV just to see what they're saying. And I'm amazed. It's just utter propaganda, lies, because those media outlets are owned by the same people that own the ones here. I mean, I've seen the declaration of that. Who owns what? I've looked at that. Who owns what in the media realm? It's the same people who are pushing for certain agendas. It's Satan for one world government. So terror is used to get people to bow the knee. You have in some places where governments are controlled by evil people, they'll actually beat people, even kill them, Christians, to try to cause them to have fear and back off. And then, you know, what happens, they're manipulated. It's only someone who knows their covenant with God or their cause is so great or so strong in them that they're willing to take a beating. You know, you have in Hong Kong right now, the Chinese government's trying to impose certain legal things from mainland China. And there's these protests where there's huge numbers, especially young people, saying we're not going to bow the knee to communist China. So there's protesting against police, and we'll see how it unfolds. They say the Chinese are amassing troops in the closest city to Hong Kong there, on the mainland. But there's all this manipulation using accusation. And Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And again, it's something he's always done. They did it against Jesus. The Pharisees and the high priests and such felt they were losing control of their power, and they sought for false witnesses against Jesus. Now, Jesus was perfect, and they still fabricated stuff. Sometimes people think they're protected. I'm talking about believers now. Oh, we're protected by our laws in this country. You know, all it takes is a socialist commie president with social communist congresspeople, and they can abolish our Constitution, and where you think you're protected may not any longer exist. That can happen. It's happened before in other places. But people think America is the righteous country in the world, therefore it can't happen. That's a delusion. And these people openly now speak about doing that. 10 years ago, they would have been laughed off the stage. Now they openly speak because Satan's becoming more bold in the manipulation towards a one world. So I praise God for those who have the courage to stand up, like our president. You didn't elect a pastor of the United States. The man's had the guts to stand up to this stuff. And I thank God for that. And I thank God the person who would have worked to undermine our nation further didn't make it. Praise God. That's an answer to prayer. But the body of Christ cannot just go off and just living for the flesh and not pray like we have, lest this thing come upon us. Well, let me come back to these scriptures here. The accusation is going to come. That's the tool to try to belittle and smear. That's why it's very important, as Paul brought out in 2 Corinthians 6, which we looked at that a few weeks ago when we were in, or he was quoting from the book of Isaiah. And we need to endeavor to be blameless. We have to understand when the enemy has authority that they can just make stuff up. Doesn't even have to be true. But if you're blameless, it's a little bit harder for them to do it. You know, if you're committing crimes and you're preaching the gospel at the same time, they can just peg you on that. Now, one of the things, you see, we need to understand, Satan will go after positions of authority to get men or women who are lusting power and will do his bidding in those positions, because then he can use the law to manipulate and use laws to punish or destroy those with whom he's in disagreement. So in a place like Russia, they've explained it to me over there, that for a business person, you have to break the law because they make laws that contradict themselves. So those in power know you're breaking this one or you're breaking this one. If you're doing this, then you have to be breaking that. So everybody tries to sort of stay hidden as much as they can, or it forces them into the system that you got to pay up, buddy. You got to pay the mafia person who has connections in with those in authority. You pay them and they'll leave you alone. That's how it works. You pay them and they'll leave you alone. So I'm just using that as an example. This thing's being perpetrated more in our own nation. And I'm sharing this. We need to understand this, what's going on. It's just Satan trying to bring accusations. It's wise for us. Don't give any place, but they can just make them up. They did with Jesus. But what we can do is out of our relationship with God, understanding there are covenant promises. Lord, your word speaks to me that I can be delivered from the accuser of the brethren. I can be delivered out of these situations. Now, that being said, let's go to Revelation chapter 12 for a moment. New covenant application. There was war in heaven. Michael, his angels, fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against the angels, prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, that snake. As I read this, I don't remember something. There was a certain Christian TV network, it was TBN. And I was in India, and I turned that on the television. I had a little bit of downtime. And here, there was a husband and wife. They oversaw this and did the programming. And they were telling about, there was a certain person who was in Satanism and, you know, the whole nine yards, and given his testimony, just newly saved. And they're going to pray at the end of the program. And the lady says, curse the devil. You know, like, we're going to pray. I want you to curse the devil. Well, the guy's mind was not renewed yet. And he starts cursing like the drunken sailor or the parrot that was raised by a drunken sailor. Cursing up a storm, the devil. And she's all embarrassed. No, that's not what I meant. Well, he didn't know any better. He told me to curse the devil. So that just comes back to my mind as I read this here. That old snake called the devil, Satan, that deceived the whole world. He was cast out to the earth and his angels with him, the fallen angels. And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. Satan is defeated. He can gain access to a whole lot of powerful tools used as weapons, the media, what have you. But he's been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which is whereby we have our righteousness with God, and the word of their testimony. The word of our testimony, speaking of who the Lord is and what he's done for us. And they love not their lives unto death. Now, when evil men are submitted to evil devils and have authority and power, and in Revelation it's speaking specifically to the time of Antichrist, Many will be killed or martyred. There's some of that today that always has been, but it'll be ramped up in the end times. But if you're not loving your life to the death, Satan has nothing to work with. If you're hanging on to something, that's what he has to work with. And I had someone tell me where they, and actually some other pastors, had been approached by the CIA already to work for them. And they began to learn of their ways. They will find your vulnerability. I'm talking about our CIA. I'm not talking about the Russians now. They all do this. They'll find your weakness. They'll find your vulnerability. Whether it's like sexual sin, money, or you love your wife or your children or grandchildren more than your, you know, than whatever principles you would have, they'll find that out. And that's what they're going after. So you have people today who aren't very wise, and it's known and understood you have a lot of money. Evil people target to kidnap your kids or grandkids or someone, because if they know how much you love them, they believe you'll pay up. You'll pay up. And these things go on. It's not in the world you and I are living in, our little world necessarily, but it's going on out there. So when you ramp that forward into spirit of Antichrist ruled days, they're going to come after Christians, and you could come to where you have to be willing to die. You will not compromise or reject the Lord. You'd rather die, because eternal life is worth more to you than this life. Now, in the meantime, we want to be exercising our faith for deliverance and protection. But there could be scenarios where it's your time to go and you would be a martyr. And sometimes more come to the Lord in our death than in our life. Samson is a perfect example of that. He killed more, or brought judgment on more of the, who was he dealing with there? Philistines, than when he was alive. So I don't mean to bring a heavy deal on us, but we have to be aware of realities. And the main point here is the weapons that would be used against us to intimidate us, to bring fear and terror. And that's what terror does. It's to manipulate you to bow your knee to somebody and become their slave. There are times someone will have to fight and die. So you ramp that up in the days we're living in, or fast forward it, and you can have a nation have a nuclear bomb and say, you do whatever or we're going to blow up New York City. So what does a president do? So they need our prayer. Those kind of things are tough. But terrorists try to bring terror and fear to force people to bow. So for us, I love Psalm 91, though 10,000 fall at my right hand. You know, I'm not going to bow the knee. Just because evil's being wrought around us, we can believe for deliverance. I always so admired Randy McMillan and his wife Marcy, because there were threats on their life numerous times, assassins sent to kill them, both in their home, at the church, when they're on the highway, and they held fast to the fact that God called me here, I am in his purpose, and I'm going to trust him to deliver me. And they saw those deliverance, even though many around them did get killed. You know, the one time he was going to a pastor's gathering, and one of his best friends, a pastor who was very influential in the city, was murdered right before he got there. And Randy loved photography. You know, to go in his house, there'd be, you know, pictures everywhere. He loved photography. He happened to have a camera with him. And he walks upon the scene right after it happened and photographed his dear friend, a very influential pastor who was murdered outside of the church before he's going to go into the pastor's meeting. And Randy faxes me this picture and says to pray. Did he flee? I called him later and I said, what are you going to do? Because it was a publicly expressed thing. Assassins are being sent to take out missionaries, businessmen, and government officials. And they were doing it. And he said, well, the famous words I'll never forget. I'm staying. I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. That made such an impression. That went into my spirit. And I'll never forget that. And I'll always reference that when we talk about things like this. And following that, they did have numerous times they were delivered from professional assassins, not some like kid on drugs, professionals. How do we know that? Because some of them got saved and confessed what they did. And there were supernatural deliverances. So that's where I try to put my faith. Is God has promised me deliverance and protection. It was in the old covenant to Abraham. That rolls over into the new. I am righteous by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have access to all that. This is my inheritance. So I'm going to stand with that. Then there's those who would accuse. Jesus, when accused, didn't answer it. He let the truth speak for him. If people want to believe a lie, they're going to believe a lie anyway. If they're looking for the truth, they'll find the truth. Now, I want to make two Old Covenant examples of this being the heritage of the Lord, that no weapon formed against them prosper, speaking to that of the tongue. The first one is found in the book of Ezra. They went back to rebuild the temple. The devil stirs up some people in authority to accuse them, to try to intimidate them. That didn't work at first. Then they appealed to the king of Persia, who was a new king. He did not realize King Cyrus commissioned them to go back and rebuild. And they said lies. Oh, they want to rebel. They're just wanting to rebuild so they can rebel. And hey, king, they won't pay any taxes then. It was lies. So they were speaking that. And then it says they used force and power and force to stop the work, and the building stopped. God raised up Zechariah and Haggai to prophesy the word, to bring forth faith, to bring forth the breaking the enemy's work, to bring forth tearing down that mountain, speak grace to the mountain, these different revelations that came out of those two prophets. But what happened is the accusation and the words of the enemy were stopped and the truth prevailed. Then you have the book of Nehemiah, very similar situation. God raises up Nehemiah to go back and provide the leadership to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. The accusers come in and they begin to spread lies and accusation. They try to intimidate, and Nehemiah prevailed. The accusation was brought down, brought to naught. When it comes to present day martyrdom, Christians are accused, but when the unsaved world sees the love of God in the Christians, they see their consecration to the Lord, that they're willing to die for them. So many have come to the Lord because of that testimony, the testimony of those who are obeying their Lord and their God. It's not just lip service. So we have today the same things still going on today. And a book of Revelation speaks of that to the future. It will be. We do not need to fear or fret or worry about things like that. What we do need to do is be in faith concerning our inheritance, the covenant promises that are in the old and the new. The old covers the physical realm of life, of which deliverance from enemies is a part of that. The new covenant covers all spiritual blessing. If you want to be greedy, that's the one place you can be greedy. I want it all that God has for me, that Jesus died to make available to me, to you. We should desire to lay hold of all of that. And what happens then is we can walk in peace and fulfill God's plan for our life. Praise the Lord. No weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the Lord for the servants of the Lord who are righteous by faith in Jesus Christ.